From Boise State Public Radio Studios, I'm Gemma Gaudette. And as summer officially gets to start, at least at the movie theaters this weekend, here's a big question. What in the world is worth spending your money on? Well, our resident movie critic, George Prentice, as well as being the Morning Edition host, is joining us now to talk more. George, it's always great to have you here.
Hi, Gemma. I think you're exactly right. When I look at films and the films I want to see or films I want to recommend, it comes down to shelling out the money. You know, it's consumer reporting, right? Just because we can see movies in advance because we're critics doesn't mean that everyone else has that privilege. It's about shelling money out for you, your kids, the family, the babysitter, the parking, the snacks. Yeah, it's a big deal.
And it's a lot of money. So, I mean, honestly, so when we say like what's worth spending our money on, I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Yep.
So before we get to the big, you've got four movies we're going to take a look at for the summer. But before we get there, an end of an era is happening today, at least in a television.
Ellen DeGeneres goes off the air. It's her final episode today, not Friday, but today. Thursday, after 19 years and 3,000 episodes, and for the last couple of months, it has been a very long goodbye with a long list of celebrities. I think the most telling and honest conversation came this week with possibly the only other person in the world who knows exactly what Ellen is about to go through, and that was Oprah Winfrey. Let's listen.
Oh, yeah, you're going to go on. You're going to go on. But you will never, ever have a time like this where you were held in the public's eye and received the joy in such a way. Isn't she going to be so missed?
Yeah, she'll be missed. I mean, goodness knows Ellen DeGeneres has her fans. The show won every award possible. It was a huge success out of the gate until 2020. When allegations of a toxic work environment hit the show, and it hit the show hard. It resulted in a lot of bad press, some resignations, some firings, and this apology from Ellen.
I learned that things happened here that never should have happened. I take that very seriously, and I want to say I am so sorry to the people who were affected.
And 1 year later, just last year, Ellen announced she would end the show, and that will happen today. But I think it is worth taking a really good look at Ellen's career. She was a hot property, great stand-up. Her sitcom was very popular. Then she came out and said she was gay, and the show was canceled. Her phone stopped ringing. Her career almost came to an end, according to her, and she basically had to build a career back. She hosted the Emmys with great success. She hosted the Oscars, and then they gave her a daytime show. And keep in mind that a lot of people have tried daytime talk shows that have failed. And here's a list of people who have failed. Queen Latifah, Anderson Cooper, Jane Pauley had a daytime show that was a turkey. Megan Mullally, Martin Short had a daytime show, Katie Couric, Harry Connick Jr. It's a very long list of people who think it's easy. It's not. It's really, really hard. Rosie O'Donnell did it with some success. She tried to come back with no success. Mm-hmm. Right now, Kelly Clarkson is probably going to fill that void. But when Ellen DeGeneres leaves, her fans will probably leave, much like Oprah's fans left. It will be a loss, and a lot of local stations around the country are wondering, okay, now what?
Well, and it's, I think you make such good points, George, because I mean, I remember when Oprah went off the air.
Yeah.
I mean, once in a while I'd watch Ellen, but I wasn't like this devout, you know, devoted fan. But there is something about when these icons retire, it is hard to fill that void. And I would also say that yes, what happened in 2020 with the allegations of the workforce there, I mean, we can argue that Ellen should have known, right? And the likelihood is that she knew.
Yep.
With that said, though, what she did, George, I think for the LGBTQ+ community in giving them a voice 30 years ago, right? I think 20, 30 years ago,
yep.
when she had her show, she brought who she is into mainstream, and she made no apologies for it.
And she pretty much sacrificed her career. Keep in mind where Hollywood was at the time. They dropped her from films, mm-hmm. and her series was canceled. They didn't even tell her. She read about it in the paper. She had to rebuild her show. And allegations or not, it's really, really hard. And when you're this popular, there's a lot of people gunning for you. And yeah. I think that's kind of what happened as well. So to be sure, she leaves a very, very wealthy person. She is one of the wealthiest people in Hollywood. Very successful. That said, it's difficult to find your footing when you step away from this. Oprah is Oprah, right? She's mm-hmm. almost transcended. But what does Ellen do? Well, she's a stand-up, and probably that's what she'll return to.
It's going to be really, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens next in her journey.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk movies and summertime because, yeah. George, I tell you, with the pandemic, it has felt like we've kind of missed out on those big summertime movie blockbusters where you wait for them to come into the theater and then you flock to the theater to see them. And maybe we're going to see a little bit of that this summer.
Absolutely. If you think of it, there was no such thing as a summer blockbuster before 1975. But that was the year where everyone was pretty much afraid to go in the water. Because that was that a movie that was made for less than $9 million that a lot of people thought was going to be a flop went on to rake in $500 million, the first movie to come anywhere that close. Summer movies would never be the same. Sharks gave way to space aliens. That gave way to Top Gun. That gave way to dinosaurs, which gave way to Buzz Lightyear. And guess what we have this summer? Space aliens, Top Gun, dinosaurs, and Buzz Lightyear. So
well, there you go.
But as someone once said, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. So, but it is the summer movie season with Memorial Day, and between now and Labor Day, a lot of movies are going to be really doing their best to get you back into a theater. So here is my short list of what I really anticipate. Now, I have seen 1.5 of these.
Oh,
which
okay.
is to say, so I've seen one of these films. The other, I was afforded a sneak before the movie was completed. So they showed okay. us half of the film. Very impressed. I'll talk about that in a second. But okay. out of the gate, at the top of my list is Lightyear. Now, I adored all of the Toy Story films.
And oh, yeah.
And I was a little reticent. It's like, okay, I don't know if we need another Toy Story film. But mm-hmm. when I heard the question that was posed by this movie, now I'm intrigued. And the question is, who was the real Buzz Lightyear that inspired Buzz Lightyear the toy? And that's what this is. Buzz Lightyear, yes, it's Pixar. Yes, it's animated. But we assume that Buzz Lightyear is an astronaut. And who better to play the real-life Buzz, the young Buzz, but Captain America himself, Chris Evans. So okay. here's a clip from Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear mission log, Stardate 3901. After a full year of being marooned, our first hyperspeed test flight is a go.
Who are you talking to?
No one.
You were narrating again.
I was not. Just doing the mission log.
You do know no one ever listens to those.
I know that. Narrating helps me focus.
Ready, Captain Lightyear?
Ready as I'll ever be, Commander Hawthorne.
This is exciting. A new adventure.
I'm going to grant you 4 minutes to be off planet, but then you come right back to us. To infinity.
And beyond.
You are clear for hyperlaunch.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop.
The best thing about Pixar films are usually the scripts. They're usually yeah. very, very funny. Goodness knows they're visual. I think this is going to be a huge hit. It opens June 17th, and it looks funny. And chances are it's touching. Most of the Pixar films lately have been. But it's an origin story. And it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I love that they've made an origin story out of Buzz Lightyear.
Yes, yes. Next thing you know, we'll be meeting the real Woody the cowboy.
Yes, so, exactly.
Don't be surprised, right? Okay, one week later, on June 24th, comes a film from director Baz Luhrmann. Now, okay. He is not afraid to swing for the fences. Occasionally, it's a grand slam like Moulin Rouge. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, it's a pop fly out like The Great Gatsby. But this time, it's big. And it's about the king of rock and roll. The film is Elvis. It's the origin story of Elvis. And here's a scene of 19-year-old Elvis, played by young Austin Butler. And by the way, he does all of the singing in this film. On October 16th, 1954, when Elvis stepped onto the stage of the Louisiana Hayride, and music would never be the same.
Come on, let's go.
He's a young singer from Memphis, Tennessee. Give him a warm hayride welcome to a Mr. Elvis Presley.
Get a haircut, buttercup!
In that moment, I watched that skinny boy transform into a superhero.
Well, you may go to college, you may go to school, you may have a pink Cadillac, but don't you make nobody's fool now, baby. Come back, baby.
Now, I don't know nothing about music, but I could see in that girl's eyes, he was a taste of forbidden fruit. She could have eaten him alive. He was my destiny.
And that is Tom Hanks as Colonel Parker, the enigmatic Colonel Parker, who pretty much made Elvis, Elvis. Mm-hmm. By the way, it just premiered at the Cannes Film Festival, I think yesterday. The reviews are pretty good. The reviews are raves for this young man. I'll tell you a quick story. When the very first job I ever had when I was in high school, I was a security guard ticket taker, and Elvis came to town for a week. So I worked the Elvis concerts for a week. And when you were paid, Elvis Presley Enterprises would cut you the check. And it was, you know, an automated signature. And the signature was always signed by Colonel Parker. Now, when you are young and you're making $2.10 an hour, you cash the check. I kind of wish I didn't now because, so Tom Hanks, plays Colonel Parker. And I think that, by the way, Elvis's ex-wife, Priscilla, and his daughter,
Lisa Marie.
Lisa Marie, they have seen the film. They are raving about the film. My guess is they might be part of the production.
That could be.
But they have given their blessing to the film. Yeah. Baz Luhrmann, I mean, his movies are very watchable, but we'll see. It's probably way over the top.
Well, you know, it's funny, George. I don't know why, but one of my first memories is hearing about the death of Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
I kid you not.
Yep.
And then over the years, I've been to Graceland. You know, I've been to his birthplace, Tupelo, Mississippi. I've seen his honeymoon house in Palm Springs. Here's the thing. I'm not some huge Elvis fan. It is just for some reason I've been in these places in my life, and I have seen, you know, all of these places where Elvis has lived, where he, you know, and what I have come to realize is what a life he led. Mm-hmm. In particular, when you think about his birth and the fact that he was a twin, and his twin brother died.
Yep.
I believe at childbirth or shortly after, and how that had such an impact on his mother and on his father. And then how that impacted him. I mean, it there is, I think, just such layers to Elvis Presley that go beyond what we know of him.
So I'm a baby boomer, and it was fascinating to me to see how many generations were Elvis fans. My grandmother loved Elvis Presley because he recorded a lot of gospel albums. And she said, oh, he's a nice young man. My mom loved Elvis because, well, that was rock and roll. And when he went into the army, that was a really big deal. And then when I worked an Elvis concert, and by the way, Elvis was still getting it done. This was the early 70s, and he was still playing the piano. He was still rocking out on the guitar. This was the Vegas Elvis, but he was still getting it done. And you forget what a musician he was and what a voice he had. Yes, there were those hips, but you know, there's Elvis, and then there's everybody else. Right?
Yeah.
So,
it's true.
Yeah. So, Elvis will open on June 24th. So, number three on my must see list will open a little earlier, June 10th. It's a sequel. In fact, it's a, let's see if I get this right. It's a sequel of 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 a sequel. Okay.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, it's, sure. It's, okay. It's, that makes perfect sense.
It's the new Jurassic World Dominion, which is a sequel of Jurassic World, which was a sequel of Jurassic Park. And then there were three. So Jurassic World opens on June the 10th. What's interesting here is that everyone, all the stars from all of the different Jurassic films are in this.
Yeah.
Sam Neill, Jeff Goldblum, Chris Pratt, and here's a scene with Laura Dern from the original Jurassic Park with Bryce Dallas Howard of Jurassic World, and they're comparing notes.
You still get nightmares? All the time. No one said saving the planet was going to be easy. But you can't stay in the past. What matters?
What is that?
Is what we do now.
Run!
On the over-under, I'm guessing it will be about 18 minutes before someone first yells, run, right? So, right? It's just a matter of screaming, saying, no, 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 and or run, and everything else is, you know, stuff. Jurassic World, right? And who would have thought when Steven Spielberg made that first one so many years ago, that this dinosaur would have as many legs as it does. And they keep coming.
So many legs.
They keep
so
coming.
So many legs.
Yeah.
Okay. So the one you haven't talked about, George, and I'm Top Gun Maverick.
It is. And it opened this week in North America. I have seen it. Now,
Okay, you have seen it.
I have seen it. Now, I wasn't a big fan of the original.
George, do not let my husband hear you.
Well, hold
say
on.
That.
I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of this one. I just wasn't a huge fan of the original. So, but the reviews have been spectacular.
They really have been.
So, and not as if they need good reviews to get an audience. And Tom Cruise is everywhere, right? He's on the, he's walking the red carpet with, The Prince and the Princess.
Kate Middleton,
right. He's at Cannes. He does a red carpet on the at an aircraft carrier, right? And so, you know, okay, let's take a look at this. And, you know, you just got to do it. So the second I came out of the theater, I had to download the song. Roll the windows down. It is a blast. And John Hamm is one of the supporting actors, and it kind of ties up some loose ends from the original. It's okay. A lot of fun. It's thrilling. I saw it on a really big screen. Folks, do not see this at home. Do not. Here's one of the movies where you have to see it in a theater. This is what cinemas were made for, is a movie like this.
And I have to say, George, I mean, it opens this weekend, as you said, right?
Yeah.
So my husband is a massive Top Gun fan. I mean, a little obsessive. His birthday's in June. We have to wait to go see it. He wants to do for his birthday. So, yeah, it's but I mean, I am so happy that after so many years and this film being put on hold, because I believe that they filmed this back in like 2018 or something like that.
Yeah, they waited. It has to be seen in a theater. And this time they're right. They're absolutely right.
And so the fact that it's, not only is it finally coming out, but George, that the reviews are really good. I'm excited for it.
You should be. It's very entertaining. This is what popcorn movies should be. Settle back. I highly recommend this film. I love a highbrow as much as anyone. This is just a lot of fun. And Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise. He gets it done, right?
There you go.
They've already dropped, by the way, the sneak preview for Mission Impossible, where are they? Number 9 or whatever, for next summer. So my guess is he'll keep doing Top Gun, Mission Impossible. And why wouldn't he do another Top Gun movie? I think this movie is going to be a huge success, box office success.
Yeah, well, you've got the audience for it. Well, as always, George, it is so lovely to have you here. And now I know what to spend my hard-earned cash on this summer. So much appreciated to you, as always.
Have a great holiday weekend.
You too. And I want to thank all of you for joining us today on Idaho Matters. Our senior producer is Samantha Wright. Our sister producer is Hannah Gardowski. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here tomorrow.